It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Jen Loeb became the first woman from Iowa to reach the summit of Mount Everest on May 19th. She is on a mission to climb the seven summits, the tallest peak on each continent. She's now conquered three of them. Six. Well, I didn't have my complete biography. Wow, very exciting. She grew up in Jessup, Iowa. She now lives in Marengo. She works at General Mills, and she is with me. Hello, Jen.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. When did you start mountain climbing?
I started mountain climbing in 2010, and it's, you know, every climb I did, I always tried to progressively make it harder, you know, whether it was more altitude or more technical. And, you know, I never started climbing with the intention of climbing Mount Everest. I never thought it would get this far, but one thing led to another, and, you know, here we are.
So what do you think it is? What got you hooked and has driven you this far?
Oh, there's actually a lot to it. You know, it forced me to step out of my comfort zone, and it was the challenge. You know, I always enjoy a good challenge, and it was the adrenaline, and it was the physical part of it, and just being outdoors, and you know, it was many things all come together, and I just really enjoyed it, and hanging out with people that love to do the same things that I do, and you know, just. Once I started climbing, and it seemed like I really got hooked, and I was trying to cram in as many climbs as I could fit into my schedule. And, you know, I went to Nepal last year for the first time and climbed a peak called Ama de Blom, and that was, you know, my first time in the Himalaya. And you get your first glimpse of Everest. And it's really intimidating, but it's a huge adrenaline rush.
So when you say you got hooked, this is more than just a hobby. I mean, I've heard you say that you actually kind of work to support your climbing habit, that this has become really a purpose. This is what you are doing on this earth. This is your purpose.
Yeah, it's really life-consuming, especially these bigger expeditions. You know, it consumes all of my time. There's so much work that goes on behind the scenes before I ever leave for an expedition. You know, there's getting visas, there's getting vaccinations, there's the gear. You know, it's hard to get mountain climbing gear in Iowa, so I spend a lot of time online getting gear. And then the training, you know, just to prepare yourself, not only physical, but your skill level too. You know, there's a lot of climbs that you have to do prior to ever doing Everest to make sure, you know, you need to be qualified before you ever get to Everest, and they won't actually allow you on a climb if you're not qualified. So, you know, there's a ton of preparation. And it really is life-consuming, you know, from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to the work and in the evening. You know, I'm busy making phone calls, doing emails, working out, and trying to make sure that I'm getting a healthy dinner in, and then go to work. And, you know, I'm exhausted a lot of times before I even get to work. And then, you know, by the time I get off work, I go home and I fall into bed and I'm asleep before my head hits a pillow, and then I wake up the next morning and do it all over again.
This journey to Everest, I mean, this is such a tremendous challenge to take on. How long were you there? How long did this take?
Okay, so I left Iowa on March 30th, and then it's 2 days of flights just to get into Kathmandu. And then once you get into Kathmandu, you take another flight to a village called Lukla. And that is the start of your trek. It takes 2 weeks to trek from Lukla to base camp, and you're acclimatizing as you go. And then once you got to base camp, you know, that's really going to be your home away from home for the next approximately 5 weeks. And so the whole journey from start to finish was, I had booked 10 weeks to do it because you really never know when the weather window is going to open up. So you have extra days built into the itinerary just to give yourself some extra time so you can, you know, try and find a good weather window for the summit push. So, you know, from start to finish, it was, we got into an earlier weather window, so we were able to complete the time in a total of 9 weeks.
Wow.
I was gone from home.
When you're climbing Mount Everest, I mean, it's such a raw environment, such a challenging environment. And there have been many climbers who have attempted to climb Mount Everest who've never made it home. Do you think about that, how dangerous it is?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's always in the back of your mind. And, you know, it reinforces the idea that you need to be prepared and you need to be smart and you need to focus on what you're doing and use good judgment. There's always doubt. There's always a possibility that something can go wrong. So, you know, that's why you go with a team and you go prepared and you just stay focused, you know, the whole time. I'm just focused. I'm in the moment and I'm focused on what I need to be doing at exactly that moment.
Tell me what it took to reach the summit of Everest. When you think about that challenge, what did you have to give of yourself to make it there?
Everything. Everything. You know, this expedition was 3 years in the making, and I basically dedicated my entire life to this expedition. And when you're there, you know, it takes all your mental focus, and you're trying to do everything you can to stay healthy and just, like I said, you know, stay focused and pay attention to your breathing, pay attention to where you're putting your feet, you know, make sure you're clipped in and make sure so much of it is just trying to stay healthy, you know, staying hydrated and eating enough food, which was a real challenge for me because that's a side effect of altitude is just a lack of appetite. So
you have to force the calories in to
maintain
the energy.
Yeah, you really have to force yourself to eat. You know, you're burning a ton of calories during the day, and it's really difficult to keep up with how many calories you're burning. You know, there were so many times when, you know, they give you a plate of food, and you just kind of look at it, you know, it's so hard to eat. You got to take a bite and force yourself to swallow it and force yourself to take another bite. So it's, you know, everybody's losing weight up there. So, and, you know, so much of climbing Everest is, you know, it's just, it takes everything you got to put one foot in front of the other and stay healthy. You know, make sure you're drinking and staying hydrated and make sure you're getting good sleep, make sure you're warm, you know, make sure that you're using chapstick and sunscreen and you have your glacier glasses on and there's no skin exposed so you don't get frostbite. You know, you have to focus on all these little things that just to protect yourself and make sure you're staying healthy in this environment that is incredibly harsh.
And, of course, the goal is the summit. The journey is so long. The goal is the summit. What does it feel like? What did it feel like when you reached it?
By then, I had already been climbing for 12 and a half hours. So we left in the evening at 9:30, and then you climb straight through the night. And I hit the summit about 10 o'clock. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions going through your head when you hit the summit. You know, obviously, I was extremely happy. But I think the most overwhelming thing was just relief. You know, I had sunk 3 years of my life into this expedition and every ounce of energy I had. And in just to put that much time and energy into something. And you know, there's so many things that can go wrong. And you just have to focus on putting one foot in front of the other and giving it everything you've got. And I think for me to put 3 years of my life into this and you know, it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, really, and to have it all come together and actually make the summit, it was a relief. And then, but you can't really let your guard down because it's not over. You know, the summit's only halfway. So you don't really, you know, you celebrate a little bit and you take some pictures and you just try and soak up that moment and have it make an imprint on your brain. You know, I'm trying to like seize that moment and remember it forever. But you don't let your guard down because it's only halfway. You still need
to
get down.
It's not like you can lay out the picnic blanket and hang out there. I mean,
no, absolutely
how
not.
How long were you actually at the summit?
Maybe 20, 30 minutes.
Wow.
You know, so.
And what were conditions like when you were up there?
Actually, not that bad. You know, it was a beautiful sunny day. There was a little bit of wind, but not too terribly bad. But super cold, you know.
It's like just, how cold?
You know, it's actually coldest in the middle of the night when it's dark. And I heard the guys saying, you know, it's probably negative 40 before the sun comes up. And then it warms up a little bit when the sun comes up. But once you get to that level, you know, you when it warms up a little bit, that's not really warming up all that much. So, yeah, very cold at the summit. And so it just, you know, when you get there, it's so amazing. But, you know, you still have a long ways to go. And the clock is always ticking because you only have so much oxygen. And that's really your limiting factor. You know, when the oxygen runs out, then you're really in trouble. So you need to stay focused and get down safely.
Is it hard to stay focused on the descent?
Yeah, very much so, because you're already exhausted. You know, you're already cold. You're already dehydrated. And so it's really easy to lose focus. So, you know, it takes that much more energy to maintain your focus and pay attention to where you're putting your feet and make sure you're clipped in when you're already tired. So, yeah, it's, you know, going up is one thing, but coming down is kind of a different animal and still very difficult.
How long did it take you to get down?
From the summit down to Camp 4 took me about 5 hours.
And it took 12 and a half to get up?
Right. So it was over a 17-hour day.
Wow.
In one push, yeah. That's a lot. It was extremely exhausting, you know. And then when you get down to Camp 4, the first thing you want to do is just go to sleep, but you have to stay awake and make sure you're eating and drinking before you pass out.
Now that you've done it and you've accomplished so much in all of your climbs, what does it mean to you?
You know, I think mountain climbing has definitely changed my life, and certainly for the better. You know, it's given me more confidence. It's forced me to step out of my comfort zones. It's made me healthier just because I have to train a lot. And, you know, the connections that I make with other climbers, you know, I've met people from all over the world, and you know, it's good to stay in contact with them and plan future climbs with them. So it's just given me a greater sense of purpose.
You've done 6 of the 7 summits?
Yes, that's correct.
What is left?
The only one that I have left is called Vinson Massif, and it's the highest peak on Antarctica.
That sounds cold.
It is cold. Yeah, it's a cold environment.
So
for sure.
Have you already started planning for that journey?
No, I haven't. I haven't started work on that expedition at all at the moment. I'm just kind of taking a break. And, you know, eventually I will get to that climb, but I haven't started working on it yet.
What brings you back to Iowa? I mean, mountain climbing is clearly your life. There are places to live where there are mountains, and this is not one of them. Why is this still home?
You know, I've lived here all my life, and Iowa has always been home. You know, my family is here, my friends are here, my job is here. So this has always been home. And, you know, mountain climbing really just gives me an excuse to travel.
So what is next on your list if it's not Antarctica?
Well, there's lots of other climbs left for me to do. You know, there's a lot of beautiful peaks in the world, and I'm nowhere near done when it comes to climbing. I think the rest of this year, you know, I use up all my vacation time forever, so that kind of...
That's probably an understatement.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it totally blew the budget, so I'm pretty much done for this year. I might do some, like, smaller projects, like I have a rock climbing, you know, thing coming up later this year, but that's just kind of a weekend getaway. So, you know, we'll see what's on the books for next year. We'll see what's in the works.
Does Everest feel like the greatest accomplishment of your life?
Yeah, I would say that's a safe thing to say because, you know, it was such a huge undertaking. In every sense of the word, you know, just physically and emotionally, mentally, you know, you're there for so long and it's so demanding, you know, it was really hard and it's a super exhausting climb. So absolutely, you know, it's, you know, every climb has its own challenges, but Everest is kind of its own animal.
Do you find yourself reminding yourself that you actually did it? I mean, it's been in your sights for so long.
Yeah, you know, now that I've been home for a couple of weeks, you know, I've kind of transitioned back into my life here, but Everest is never far from my mind. You know, it's always in the back of my mind, and I find myself thinking about it always. You know, it's always there.
Jen Loeb, thank you so much. Jen Loeb became the first woman from Iowa to reach the summit of Mount Everest on May 19th. She is on a mission to climb the seven summits, the tallest peak on each continent. She has conquered six of them. And I hope you'll come back again, Jen, when you climb number seven. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Emily Woodbury, Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. We also get production assistance from Lauren Knutson and Graham Bly. You can email us anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @IPRTalk. I'm there too, @CharityNebby. This is Talk of Iowa.